بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کلام آفاظ آج ہمارے شیخ اول رومی وقت حضرت شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مقدہ. نہیں آتے نظر لیکن پرے پرواز آہوں کے. محبت تیرا صدقہ ہے سمر ہے تیرے نازوں کے. محبت تیرا صدقہ ہے سمر ہے تیرے رازوں کے. جو میں یہ نشر کرتا ہوں خزانے تیرے رازوں کے. محبت تیرا صدقہ ہے سمر ہے تیرے نازوں کے. جو میں یہ نشر کرتا ہوں خزانے تیرے رازوں کے. زمین پر ہے مگر کیا رابطہ ہے عرش اعظم سے. زمین پر ہے مگر کیا رابطہ ہے عرش اعظم سے. نہیں آتے نظر لیکن پرے پرواز آہوں کے. نہیں آتے نظر لیکن پرے پرواز آہوں کے. جدھر دیکھو فدا ہے عشق پانی حسن پانی پر. جدھر دیکھو فدا ہے عشق پانی حسن پانی پر. فدا اللہ پر ہے قلب و جان اللہ والوں کے. فدا اللہ پر ہے قلب و جان اللہ والوں کے. تجھے دھوکا نہ دے پانی بتوں کی عارضی رنگت. تجھے دھوکا نہ دے پانی بتوں کی عارضی رنگت. کبھی دیکھو گے تم قبروں میں اب تر حال لاشوں کے. کبھی دیکھو گے تم قبروں میں اب تر حال لاشوں کے. جو اہل دل کے جوتوں سے لگے ہیں خاک کے ذرے. سبحان. جو اہل دل کے جوتوں سے لگے ہیں خاک کے ذرے. شرف حاصل ہے ان کو موتیوں پر تاج شاہوں کے. شرف حاصل ہے ان کو موتیوں پر تاج شاہوں کے. چمن میں جیسی ہوتی ہے عنا دل کی پذیرائی. چمن میں جیسے ہوتی ہے عنا دل کی پذیرائی. کہیں وہ مرتبے ہوتے ہیں صحراؤں میں زاغوں کے. کہیں وہ مرتبے ہوتے ہیں صحراؤں میں داغوں کے. وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کر بھی خدا کے ساتھ رہتے ہیں. وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کر بھی خدا کے ساتھ رہتے ہیں. مگر کچھ اہل دل ہی آشنا ہے ایسے رازوں کے. مگر کچھ اہل دل ہی آشنا ہے ایسے رازوں کے، وہ کرگس جو کسی مردے پہ ہوتا ہے فدا اختر، وہ کرگس جو کسی مردے پہ ہوتا ہے فدا اختر، وہ کیا جانے کہ کیا رتبے ہے ان کے شاہ بازوں کے، وہ کیا جانے کہ کیا رتبے ہے ان کے شاہ بازوں کے، محبت تیرا صدقہ ہے سمر ہے تیرے رازوں کے، جو میں یہ نشر کرتا ہوں خزانے تیرے رازوں کے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده و نصلی علی رسول کریم، اما بعد. بیوٹیفل پوم وہ دادا شیخ مولانا شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ، وائل ہی واز ٹریولنگ فرام بائی پلین فرام دبئی ٹو نائروبی، سو حضرت دس اللہ تعالیٰ انسپائرڈ ہم ود دیز اشعار اینڈ دیز پومز ان دی ایئر 1994. So many years ago, Hazrat speaks about flying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was in a flight, so he speaks about flying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat says that muhabbat tera sadqa hai samar hai tere nazo ke, that this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which I have got over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah ta'ala is the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person makes some sacrifice in his life, he goes through some difficulties, the mujahada which a person makes in his life follows the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his favor and grace, he grants us some fruit. He grants a person the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as it says that this is what I am doing now, and I'm spreading your love, etc. This is جو میں یہ نشر کرتا ہوں خزانہ تیرے رازوں کے، the khazana and the treasures of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only through the barakat and the blessings. I mean, this is through the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Allah has placed in my heart. A person has to make some sacrifice in his life, and Hazrat Ajib's life, what and what sacrifices he went through. A person studies the beginning, initial portion of his life when he was a student, and then he stayed in the company of Mawlana Shah Abdul Ghani Bulfuri rahmatullahi, and what sacrifices he went through. That even the Akabir of the time said that we were shocked and amazed that in today's time somebody can make such sacrifices. So he went through all of the sacrifices only for the pleasure of Allah, to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So through the barakat and blessings of that, this is the effects we are seeing now. He made it mujahada, and then through the fadl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah grants me the tawfiq, he says, to spread the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat says, zameen par hai magar kya raabta hai arsh azam se, nahi aate nazar lekin pare parwaz aho ke. A person is on the ground, but what a connection he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has got this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah give us a fraction of this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or not even a fraction. May Allah through His mercy grant us a huge amount of it. We are not worthy of it, but Allah is Kareem. And when Allah opens His treasures, Allah can grant in great abundance. So with what a connection a person has, you are on the ground, but directly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person cannot see it, but that ah and that sigh and the du'as which a person makes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's flying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the connection immediately is built up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One very simple way for us to get connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to make du'a. Whenever a person, in every moment, one Buzruk, he mentions, when anybody comes to ask me for dua, I get so happy with him. Most likely it was Dr. Abdul Arifi rahmatullah alayhi, one other for our elders. He said, because when a person is asking me for dua, he's actually asking me that build your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's reminding me that build up your connection, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So immediately a person is now building up his connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, I'm on the ground, but what a connection a person has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the ah, through the cries, the tears which a person has got in his heart. جدھر دیکھو فدا ہے اس کے فانی حسن فانی پر، فدا اللہ پر ہے قلب و جا اللہ والوں کے. This is wherever you're looking in the world, unfortunately, that people are sacrificing their lives for temporary beauties. For whether Hazrat speaking especially about women, yeah, women folk, people are running after women folk. But that money also, something temporary, that gold and silver, that houses and that cars, and all of those things, whatever a person is running after, it is something very, very temporary. But the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they sacrifice their hearts and their bodies only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They sacrifice themselves and make the sacrifice. I'm going to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, do not fall into deception. Fani butok ya ardi rangat. The temporary beauty and color which they have got. If you want to go and see the condition, kabhi dekho ge tum kabro mein aftar hal lashoke. Go and see the condition, how they last and the corpses are in the grave, and leave it there for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then you dig up the grave again, and you will see that woman was in the prime of her youth. She was so beautiful, 18, 20 years old, and the people were running after her. They were desirous of her, and now when she's just 60, 70, never go in the cupboard as yet. Now people are turning their backs away from her. They're running away from her. And Hazrat says, even if she's so beautiful and so pretty, Hazrat says, what is this really going to give you? Is there, at least if she was giving you some ruhe afza, some wonderful juice and milkshake coming out from that path which you are running after, then it should have been something of good. You say, but she's giving you, she's a gutter line. She's giving you urine and stool. The places you're running after, and you're running after death. And it's, at least you were getting some juice, something good from there, you could have run after that. But there you're getting filth and dirt, and you're feeling that my success is in this. So these are just temporary beauties. An intelligent person is he who looks at the final result, what eventually will happen to us. Think of that person. He had affairs with every woman in the world, and today is the time of his mort, he's leaving this world. What benefit did he get? Now at that time, a person is leaving this world, he looks back in his life and he says, ha, I wasted my life. If only I spent it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's too late. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, it is mentioned that he was 40 years old when he got nabuwat, and 950 years he gave da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then his people were destroyed after 950 years. And then he left for another 60 years or so. So 1050 years. This was an extra long life Allah Ta'ala had granted to him. At the time of his death, the angel of death asked him, that how did you find your life in this world? So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said, my life was so short. It was like I had come to a house. I opened the front door. I walked through the door. And I came out in the back door. 1050 years just went like that. So only at the time of death, a person will think back and say, SubhanAllah, how I wasted my life. Every moment I looked at that haram, I wasted my life, I watched a film. People are sitting, watching films, hours upon hours. Even this Islamic series, whatever it is, completely haram, not permissible. And time of a person's life is wasted. Person becomes so involved in it. And years of a person's life passes in this way. And then eventually at the time of death, what will be the condition of a person? So as I said, don't become deceived by all of these things. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us that Zurul Qubur, make ziyarat of the Qabristan. فَإِنَّا تَذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ. It will remind a person of Akhirat. When you go to the Qabristan, look at those people also. The ages, 20 years, 30 years, young women are there also. They're in the Qabr now. Now who is running after them? And those people who live 60, 70, 80 years, but they're also in the graves. So look at the condition of those people. جو اہلِ دل کے جوتوں سے لگے ہیں خاک کے ذرے شرف حاصل ہے ان کو موتیوں پر تاج چاہو کے. Just the dust particles which join to the shoes of the Ahle Dil, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means whatever nisbat and connection is to the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's the dust particles, those people have got sharaf, that the particles have got honor over the pearls which are found on the crowns of the kings. It's a crown on the king's crown, it's got some beautiful diamonds and pearls and jewelry, etc., gems. So more greater than that is the sand particles which are on the shoes of the Ahle Dil, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this has got connection with them. Anything which got connection with somebody, Sahaba radiallahu anhu had connection with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why no one in the world can ever equal to them. That is why the famous story also about this is mentioned, that somebody asked, I can't remember who he asked, but he asked, is Umar ibn Abdullah Aziz rahmatullah alayhi was a very great khalifa and so much of justice here in his time, is he better? Or Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Muawiyah was a great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People have made a lot of propaganda and lies about him, spoken very evil things about him. He was a very great sahabi, the brother-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a great khalifa of Islam also, when he ruled for 20 years the Islamic world, and so much of futuhat and conquest there was in his time. So they asked, who is better? So that person answered, I can't remember exactly who it was, one of our great akabir. So he said that, what are you speaking about, are they equal? He said that dust particles in the horses, which went out in the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Abdullah can never reach there also. Because that had nisbat with Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, the sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had nisbat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this nisbat is such a great thing. So others say that the awliya Allah, what high rank they have got, that even the dust particles is better than the crowns of the king. Chaman mein jaisi hoti hai anadil ki pazirai, kai wo martabe hote sahrao mein zaagon ke. A person who is the nightingale in the garden and he is singing, and how beautifully it is. So this is the example of the awliya Allah. Can the people who are in the desert, these crows who are running around there, can they ever equal the rank of those? They can never ever be equal. So those awliya Allah with hearts are beautified with the love of Allah Ta'ala, can those people who are running after corpse, carcasses and filth and dirt, can never be equal. وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کر بھی خدا کے ساتھ رہتے ہیں مگر کچھ اہل دل ہی آشنا ہے اعتراضوں کے. They are still sitting with all the people also, and even despite the fact that they are with the people, but their hearts are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But only the people of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know the secret and connection they have got with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are sitting with us also, as we have heard the story many times. Mawlana Muhammad Ahmad Tapgari rahmatullah alayhi, once he was sitting in a gathering and suddenly he was like in a different world. He stopped speaking, and Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah alayhi ran to him and came back, and he told our Dara Shaykh Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi that Hazrat is in a different alam, he's in a different world now. His connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what discussions and feelings and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a person has got. In Salat also people have got these connections. So even the awliya Allah sitting with the people like us, but their connection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know the secrets which they have got with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat says, وہ کرگس جو کسی مردے کو ہوتا ہے فدا اختر, وہ کیا جانے یہ کیا رتبہ ہے ان کے شہبازوں کے. That crow which is running after carcasses and filth and dirt, how can that person, or the kargas is a vulture, the vultures, they normally eat the carcasses. So how can that vulture ever know the rank of the eagles? Those eagles who are flying in high positions, they have got the king of the birds, the eagle. What will they ever understand? What is the rank of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So may Allah ta'ala make us amongst those people. And if we are not on the level of those people, at least to stay in the company of those awliya Allah, those friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, by means of staying with them, kunu ma'a sadiqin, stay in their company, the qualities will rub off onto a person. And inshallah, he also will become a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us, open up our eyes to the deception of this world and all the beauties of this world. It's all a deception, and the main thing is to build up our ta'aluk and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grant myself and all of us tawfiq to make amal. Shem, we've got the kitab of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh, Hayatul Muslimin. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh was very parishan about the condition of the Ummat, and he became very ill also. One morning Fajr time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him with this kitab. And he mentioned that I wrote this kitab is the solution to the problems of the Ummat. The Ummat will follow this kitab and the prescription which I have given in there. Inshallah, all the problems of the Ummat which we are going through, difficulties and hardships, first we will come out of it. And then Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi once mentioned that from all the kitabs I wrote in my life, I've got the most hope in this kitab that this will be a means of my najat and salvation. So we can understand the great importance and value of this kitab. This kitab was written in 1346, approximately 95 years ago it was written by Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, and he said that how much of mehnat and effort I put in this kitab, and no other kitab I put so much of mehnat, because I really wanted to make it very, very easy. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, normally in his kitab he writes on a very high level, a lot of ilmi words, istilahat, etc. But in this kitab sometimes Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi said he used to take a whole paper, whole chapter, and tear it up and start writing it again to make it as easy as possible for the people to understand. So anyhow, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi starts with the khutbah. He says, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has revealed in his kitab, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. He mentions the tarjuma translation. What is he who was dead? Then we gave him life and created for him a light with which he walks among people. The same is the person who dwells in darkness, unable to emerge from it. So certain people, Allah gave them light, Allah gave them iman, and they are walking with that iman amongst people. Can they ever be like the people who are living in darkness, like the kuffar? Salam and durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Allah granted his kalam, the Quran Sharif. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, similarly we have revealed to you Muhammad a ruh, that is wahi and revelation of our command. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the ummah to the great thawab of wahi and revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tajayi wal ladina amanu istajibu lillahi wal rasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O people of iman, answer Allah and his rasul when they call you towards that which will enliven you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam steered the ummah towards the lofty and glorious height of wahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they, the true believers, Allah had established iman in their hearts, and Allah ta'ala had granted them a ruh, a spiritual power from his side. Another ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever practices righteousness, whether it's male or female, and he or she is a believer, then most definitely we will grant him or her a prosperous worldly life. And in the year after, we shall reward them for the virtuous deeds they practice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever turns away from my remembrance, for him is adversity even before Qiyamah, that is in the grave. And we shall resurrect him blind on the day of Qiyamah. Regarding the people of Jahannam, Allah ta'ala says, لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. Neither will they die therein, nor will they be alive. Thus the life in the fire will be a life of misery, in which there will no comfort and prosperity. Although that life will not be death, it will also not be life. On the basis of these Quranic verses and numerous others, the Mufassirin have asserted that true spiritual life and the life of the year after, as well as the life of this world, are rights which belong exclusively to the obedient servants of Allah Ta'ala. This conclusion is manifest from many Quranic verses. In spite of the matter being so clear, our Muslim brothers have become completely forgetful of it and behave as if they never heard of the basis and proofs of this claim of the Mufassirin. The two kinds of existence mentioned earlier are the worldly life and the life of the Akhirat. Regarding the life of the year after, our brothers do recognize to a degree that it is exclusive for the obedient servants of Allah Ta'ala. But insofar as the life of this world is concerned, the thought of it being the exclusive right of the obedient servants of Allah Ta'ala is very remote from our minds. Thus throughout the world we observe mountains and difficulties of hardship and misfortune coming down and crushing upon Muslims. Despite the situation, the causes and the remedy have not occurred to anyone. Those who attempt to devise some remedy for this stage of difficulty and problems, they are confronted with utter failure because they have failed to diagnose the disease. A wrong diagnosis results in a wrong prescription of the wrong remedy. Hence the disease, instead of curing, deteriorates more and more. The natural consequence of such wrong plans and schemes devised to remove the ummah from degradation and disgrace is nothing more than the sickness becoming more and more. However, we find that the people who are misguiding the ummah, the diagnosis, they are not prepared to correct their prescription. They are still giving the people the wrong prescription. The cause of this ignorance and misguidance is, number one, intellectual ignorance. People do not have the proper knowledge. These practitioners do not fully acknowledge the divine declarations of the Quran and Hadith, which have pinpointed the root causes of the calamities which have overtaken the ummah with such disastrous consequences as we can see. They proclaim that they have got iman in them. What then is the meaning of partial acknowledgement? Iman in Allah and His Rasul means to acknowledge them and believe them to be truthful in every aspect, every statement and deed. But people follow some part and some part they leave out. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, أَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in part of the kitab and you reject part of the kitab? It is very important that attention be drawn to this ignorance and negligence so that the causes underlying the disease may be found and the correct remedy prescribed. Proofs, both aqli and naqli, rational and narrational, as well as tajruba and experience, have established beyond the slightest doubt the recognition of the causes of our sicknesses which have afflicted us in this age, as well as the remedy and cure for these sicknesses, are confined to the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a claim which we can make without the slightest fear of being contradicted. Whoever will believe in the correctness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's diagnosis and practice in accordance with his prescription will acknowledge the swiftness of the cure of such divine remedies. He will be convinced of the benefit of such remedies and wholeheartedly submit to the divine treatment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed his message to mankind with the greatest of affection and clarity. There exists no ambiguity in it. And now application of the prescription offered by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam depends on the fortune and misfortune of people. Those who decide to accept the prescription will be fortunate and successful, and those who reject it will go through difficulty and failure. Whoever in the past accepted and used the divine prescription, he got success and prosperity in this world. Muslims who have neglected the divine prescription, despite the love for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have nevertheless been blessed. The reason for them being blessed, in spite of their negligence, is their belief and love for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This blessing is actually their deprivation. They are being deprived of worldly success and prosperity. This deprivation is a warning to them to realize their error and reform their condition. Such a warning then is an actual fact of blessing. Allah wants us to correct ourselves, so Allah will give us dunya also. Those bereft of faith and love, That is, the kuffar are granted leeway because of the misfortune of their evil. They obtain temporary and superficial success and prosperity, but in the year after they will be deprived of all kind of goodness. Thus, a prosperity at the end of which is misfortune and calamity is not success in reality. In addition to the failure which they will get in the year after, they find within themselves to be without peace, tranquility and sweetness of life, despite the fact that they have got so many worldly comforts and luxuries. About such temporary success coupled with failure in the year after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what? Do they think that by our bestowal of wealth and sons to them, we are hastening goodness for them? In fact, they do not understand. In another ayat, Allah ta'ala says, do not let their wealth and their children surprise you. Verily Allah intends to punish them in the worldly life, in the life of this world therewith, and their souls will depart while they are disbelievers. Since it has been established beyond doubt that success are confined to the prescriptions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it devolves as a necessary obligation upon our Muslim brothers who are informed of the disease but uninformed of the prescription to abandon their neglect, ignorance and indolence. It is incumbent upon them to utilize these divine and proven prescriptions so that they may attain all forms of prosperity and success in abundance in both this world and the year after, keeping in view easy acquisition of benefit and the acceptability of the call to the masses. I have mentioned in this book certain laws which are simple to learn and practice. I am presenting them to my brothers. The various parts are Iman, Ilm, Salat, Zakat, Quran, morals, transactions, acquisition of halal, abstaining from extravagance, stories of the awliya, dua, etc. Looking at the nature of this book, I have called it Hayatul Muslimin, or the life of the Muslims. I have got different chapters in the kitab which are called Arwah, soul, which will give life to the Muslim people. And then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dispenser of guidance, and in Allah ta'ala's power is protection and assistance. Inshallah, we will continue after this. The first ruh, how will this quality come into our life? Allah give us the fit to make amal.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم وقال تعالى وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء مخ العبادة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Of all the beautiful ni'mat which Allah has given us, one great beautiful ni'mat is dua. Allah has given everyone the opportunity to make dua, and our whole deen is like a beautiful dastarkhan that is laid out, where there is all types of the most delicious types of food, biryani, pulao, roast, chops, whatever we can think of. And Allah has laid it out for us, and it is for us ready just to now take it and enjoy it. One of those great enjoyable ibadats also is dua. One person, Alim, wrote to our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali and says that reading the kitab Munajat Maqbool, dua kitab, that I don't seem to get that eagerness, that it doesn't come in me to read. So Hazrat said, it's very surprising, because to speak to your beloved, a person enjoys it. And dua is really a thing where you are speaking directly. And what great duas we have been taught by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where on the one side, it is a clear proof of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nobody else could ever think of those duas. And then those words again. And then again the benefits of it for us. In this dunya also, akhirat also, personally for ourselves, for our families, for the community. What beautiful du'as. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this great, great ni'mat of du'a. And Allah says in this ayat, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي. Allah is saying, make du'a to me, ask me. أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Immediately with that Allah says, I will accept. Du'as are readily accepted. Then of course, There are times also which we should try and choose in which du'as are even more readily accepted. Ramadan is coming, the whole day, 24 hours du'as are accepted. So this is an occasion, many other occasions also. But anyway, du'a is the great, great ibadat which Allah has given us. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If somebody asks, my bandas ask, where am I? Tell them, I am close. One beautiful poem, a poet says that, O Allah, you are more closer to us than our jugular vein. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. That vein, that is your life vein. We are more closer than that to you. But in dua, we still don't reach Allah. Our whole life we haven't reached Allah. Allah has made Himself available and so close to us, He's more closer to us than we are to ourselves also. Now it is for us just to find Allah. For that Hadith Majalis also, if we come here to purify ourselves, to make our tazkiyah, to find Allah and to make this connection with Allah Ta'ala, then you know, what beautiful the du'as we will make, and making them to Allah who is Alimun Khabir, who knows everything. So what you ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah knows that need of yours better than what you know it also. And Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah has got qudrat over everything. We will ask, but I say, but I can't do this. I can't manage this. But Allah has got qudrat over everything. And if we ask Allah that give me a namaz of concentration. And really these are the things that more we should be making dua for. Normally we think du'as of our dunya halat, etc. But our spiritual condition, Allah grants us our namaz, we have to make dua. Our five times namaz properly, with jamaat, not only our effort, which is very, very important, but without the help of Allah. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that in the adhan, that where the muazzin says, that you must come, hayya ala salah, come for namaz. The reply isn't that labbaik, I'm ready, I'm coming. But the reply is, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That means that, oh Allah, I can't come and I can't stay away from not coming, but with your help. In other words, I will try. I have got the intention, but I can't do it without. So Allah's help is required in everything. So here also we are taught that for this which we should say, labbaik, I'm coming now, but no, it's not in my hands. Oh Allah, you make it easy. So that is dua, that whatever we want to do, don't trust ourselves. More we trust, than we put trust on ourselves, we should put the trust on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Everything, if that can come within us, to make dua. So Allah ta'ala has given us this great, great weapon, this great, great defense from any and everything is the dua. And we can, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is there for us all the time, 24 hours. We don't have to wait, like now we can't make Isha namaz, it's not yet Isha time. Only when Isha time comes in. But for dua, though the best time, tahajjud, etc., Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam told that when his sons told him to make for us forgiveness for us, he said, I will ask Allah, I will ask. But the ulama write one explanation that he was waiting for tahajjud time. So that is the time when du'as get accepted, but not necessary. All the time du'as are accepted. Allah Ta'ala's call, ud'uni astajib lakum, make du'a for me all the time. And for du'a to lift up our hands also is not necessary. That is the adab of du'a. We should normally, but sometimes we should just make du'a in our hearts also, which Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to stress a lot, especially for the fitnas which are prevalent. Hazrat should say, for present day fitnas in those days, they make du'a muraqabah. That is, without moving your tongue, without raising your hand, just in your heart. And then we also will understand that our concentration will be more. Usually when we pick up our hands, maybe it's just words. Our mind drifts also. But when you do from your heart, that means full concentration. So with that dua, and Allah Ta'ala accepts that dua, which is with concentration. A heart and mind that is unmindful. We just like a sing song, or just a formality, we are reading duas, we just reading our munajat maqbool, but our heart is not in there. Compared to that, that dua where our heart is in, that dua is much, much more acceptable. So dua is a great, great power that Allah has given us. And it is very important for each one really seriously to think for ourselves, do we really make duas? Like one is just after the farz namaz, we just lift up our hands, our mind is not there, the imam is saying some words and that, our mind is not there. And that is an ijtima'i dua, all collective. But ourselves, do I take out time for dua? Well, mashallah, we make namaz, Allah accept from us all. We take out time for namaz, we take out time for our tilawat, for our dunya's things, we take out time for our breakfast, we take out time for our lunch, all other things to earn our rosy, we take out time. Each one of us think that how much time do I take out specifically for dua, whether it's tahajjud time or whether it's any other time also, but how much of time do I take out specifically for dua. Like that, we should take out specific time for durood sharif, our zikr, our tilawat of Quran Sharif. Like that, one thing is dua also. And dua, that our munajat-e maqbool, it covers everything. But that, with that, our own necessities. So much it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that even if your lace of your shoe breaks, you should ask Allah Ta'ala. So in other words, everything we should ask Allah Ta'ala. Just to understand that, one person was going to buy a horse in those times, nowadays a car. So on his way, he was going, his friend asked him, where are you going to buy a horse? He said, say inshallah. This is also a dua, that if Allah wishes. And these are very important duas, that if Allah wishes. May we want to do many things, and in fact, our system is such, like for example, now the ijtima, lot of mashuras are taking place. The Madrasa Jalsa is going to take place. Lot of mashuras will take place. Khanka, Islahi, Jalsa, anything. For dini matters also, we have mashuras. But if we just concentrate and think that how much do we say inshallah? How much do, before we go in the mashura, that we make dua, that good come out of this mashura. Let our thinking be in the right direction. Let the good come out. Usually, it is just our mashura, which is important. But our connection with Allah Ta'ala, that oh Allah, if you wish to, in that mashura, something comes out for paper cups, for whatever it might be. Then somebody will say, I know somebody, I'll organize this, don't worry. But that inshallah doesn't come. Lot of things like this, we discuss, at home we discuss, these are now pure deeny things. In there we are so neglectful. And we should try and think about it. When we do that, think that is, am I saying inshallah? Is inshallah being said? Do I make a dua? This matter we discussing, there seems to be no solution to it. We seem to be in a catch-22 situation. Or we say that there is no solution. But we turn to Allah, that we ask Him. One time we were coming back from Shab Guzari, and then there were some of these protesters, etc., on the road, and a message came on the phone. So immediately the driver started now contacting people, which route should we take, which way is safe, which is now common nowadays. So he did all that. So I asked him, mashallah, you did all that, but did you turn to Allah, that Ya Allah, you guide us, you show us the best route. Tell them, and the best solution that we don't opt for. We opt for every other solution, but the best solution we don't opt for. So everything, for example, we need some medical treatment, no problem, we have to go. So we will find out which best doctor, which best hospital, what should we do. But do we take out the time to turn to Allah, that Ya Allah, you guide me. Which is the best? What should I do? Which doctor should I go to? Etc. So this should be a common thing in our lives, this dua. So Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala, gee, I was saying about that person went and buy that horse. So he didn't, he went, when he decided on the horse, which one he wanted to buy, they decided on the price, everything finished. When he put his hand in his pocket, his money was gone. So the friend told him, the say inshallah, he said, what necessary for inshallah? The horse is there, money is in my pocket. Eh? Like this, all our things like this. Then when he was coming back, the friend met him again. What happened? Where's the horse? Now, inshallah, I was going to buy a horse, inshallah. I had the money in my pocket, inshallah. And I got the horse, inshallah. But this inshallah, all the du'as, Allah give us tawfiq. So present day situation also, whether it's for myself individually, all got problems. Whether it's my family, whether it's my extended family, the community, the whole ummah, especially the ummah which we are thinking about, what difficulties, how much do we focus on dua? Right. How many of the mashallah ulama who are speaking on this, they say we are just speaking about this virus. We're just speaking about Syria. We're speaking about India. Little bit to keep us informed, and that so much is all right. But the solution to it, which is really in the hands of only Allah Ta'ala. And how much are we turning for that? How much du'as are we making? Allah reward our imams. They are making, mashallah, qunut and nazila. And that also, Allah give us all tawfiq when we make our own du'as also. It shouldn't be more like a sing song. It shouldn't be more like nicely with a tune, etc. Dua is something which you, like a crying sound, and so much it comes that if you can't cry, make your face, make your voice, make your sound like a crying person. So when we also making our dua to Allah, if we can't cry, but like a person who's crying, we try and make our face like that, we try and make our voice like that, like one who is crying. So this is also, so dua at this stage. And we have to see how much are we turning to dua. What time have I set aside? Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explained, mashallah, there are many people who make tahajjud namaz, but perhaps they also still a bit negligent in du'as. So how much time you spend in tahajjud, Hazrat says, spend so much time in du'as. So we should try and see that how much time specifically am I taking out for du'as. And when we're making our du'as, one very effective way also is that we think that I'm at multazam, and I'm making my du'a there. See how much more the du'a will become. I'm busy making tu'at, the tawaf, and making my du'as. I'm at Safa now, and I'm making du'as. I'm at Marwa now, and I'm making du'as. I'm between Safa and Marwa. I'm in the Hatim, and I'm making du'as. All the du'as we're making, but like I'm there. Inshallah, we will see, and we'll feel, inshallah, the presence of Allah also more. And the du'a will become more effective, inshallah. So Allah give us tawfiq of du'as. Together with that, for du'as, we should also try to learn a few words of the praises of Allah. And we all know, we start with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that is also enough. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all this. But if we can learn a few praises of Allah Ta'ala, first the du'a should have the praises of Allah, and then durood sharif. Try and read as many durood as we can, and then after that, tawbah and istighfar. We should try and make tawbah and istighfar. And how Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam erred and he realized his mistake, Shaitan beguiled him, made him go astray. And the way Shaitan spoke to him, he became a bit unmindful. And there he did what he should not have done. And then Allah taught him this dua. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. All these duas, the duas of Yunus alayhi salam, extremely effective. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. All these duas, duas of tawbah and istighfar. They should be also there at the beginning. Then, or further than, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. We should try and read that also. And Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Allah taught us. And what that give us goodness of this dunya, goodness of the akhirah. And what Allah has taught, ulama have made tafsir. Allah Ma'alusi rahmatullah alayhi has given 10 tafsirs what it means. But in Allah's knowledge, what things are in there. So, and this is a common dua which we all know, little children also know. So we should read that. And with lot of this in mind also, waqina azab al-nar, and save us from the fire of Jahannam. This is a very, very important dua. Usually our mind is only atina fi dunya hasana, the goodness of this dunya, and we don't think of akhirat. Yeah, also we go anywhere, somebody has come to us, and now we say, Allah take you safely back. Well, we said, make dua, Allah take us safely. But we should make dua and keep it in our mind that Allah take us safe till Jannah. That the real journey starts from more. We worry only about this journey yet. But that is the real journey. So that journey, for that journey we have to make a lot of du'as also. In fact, when we make du'a for safar, salatu safar, then make niyat with that also, journey right through, till Jannat inshallah. We have to cross full sirat. If there was a bridge, there are certain roads in the world, like what type of roads they are. But what will pull sirat be? And it's not a short little distance, a long, long distance. And everyone will have to cross it. And not easy when we read the hadith. And though the hadith are not for the non-believers. It appears that the non-believers, before that they will be already thrown in Jahannam. Allah save us. And today iman is also a thing to be worried. The believers will have to cross full sirat. And it comes to also so much that when a person will have crossed about 70% of the bridge, at that time the like potholes or big holes of where those who made ghibat will come. And then those, so these are for the believers who will now be able, who will be allowed to cross. And then now ghibat, the guna of ghibat, which is so common amongst us. And the worst now that guna has come because of the cell phone. What messages this person, husband and wife, little different, or fiancé, and then they were going to get married, now they broke up. Now they just take out all the bad linen, dirty linen. Now they're just sending the messages, and they're putting it on the groups also, on Twitter also, and on every Facebook, etc. Now we also reading, and we take little enjoyment from that. We also involved in it. The person who makes the ghibat is also gunega, the person who listens also. And today the reading is also the listening. And yeah, we also listening, this happened, that person said this, this person said that. We are so much involved in it. Allah make rahm on us. So this dua we should make, so this we should be worried about our condition. In akhirat, safar will be the whole safar, Allah make it easy for us. So Allah has given us this great thing of dua. And Allah has made it free of charge. Yeah, if a person, wherever they are giving out free also, they got a limit, they got a quota. They can't give everyone. MashaAllah, Allah reward those people who are going to like Syria, to the Rohingya Muslims. They are giving them, helping them, but they've got all a ready-made pack or something. Only so much. But by Allah, there is no limit whatsoever. And when we ask Allah from your unlimited resources. Allah's resources are also unlimited, and from your unlimited qualities and sifat of generosity, of kindness, of jood, Allah Ta'ala's generosity, Allah's big, big heart, how Allah Ta'ala gives, we cannot imagine. When one time Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam explained that if a person reads 10 times Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, most probably it was this fadilat, then Allah built a palace for him in Jannah. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, in that case we will build plenty of palaces. What's it difficult to read 10 times Durood Surah Ikhlas? Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, Allah is far beyond it, you can make much more. Like we think one palace. 10 palaces, 100 palaces, but for Allah, a million palaces also, what are they? Absolutely nothing. So Allah, give us your faith. And mashallah, some brothers are reading now Qulhu Allah, finishing the 10. Allah, give us all tawfiq, we can do it, and we build our palaces in Jannah. And Allah, give us, this we mentioned before also, but without muzakara, we forget. Over time, then we forget again. Allah, give us. So anyway, dua is a very, very great thing. And then with the dua, to try and humble ourselves also. The words also we use should be words of humility, and that we humble ourselves. And then we should make dua for our own needs also. Dua for the ummah's needs also. For our family, our marhumeen, we mustn't forget. Our asatiza, we mustn't forget. And if, when we start making dua, we will see there are so many things to ask. We are allowed 10 minutes, we see 10 minutes is finished, and I haven't really started still also. And then when the enjoyment will come, and that connection, and we all, and it's sunnah also, we should ask one another for du'as. But we also should become people of du'as. Eh? Like we go to buzurg, become a buzurg yourself. Eh? And you make your du'as. And others ask you also for du'as. So we with all the requirements of du'as also, we try and fulfill all those requirements also. Our attention, our heart is there. And then there are times when du'as are readily accepted. The end of du'a again, we should ask Allah Ta'ala again that if we Allah give us tawfiq, we all learn the du'a. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu Nabiyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Till the end, read that dua and the duas of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. We do read our munajat maqbool wa our other dua kitabs, but the duas of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And then after that, read Durood Sharif again at the end also. Hey, Durood Sharif, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that read Durood Sharif and your duas will be accepted. Also, it comes in a hadith. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, when we finish our dua, we ourselves also say Ameen. And if we say three times, even better, when we have finished our dua, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. No doubt in that dua being accepted. Then dua between Adhan and Takbir, that dua is readily accepted also. The dua at Tahajjud time, the dua before Maghrib Namaz, especially on a Friday. And all the specific times when Adhan is going between the two khutbas on Friday and many other times also. So we should be in search of these things. In our day to day, we know Pate is cheap here. Yeah, we are in search. We are always checking where is this cheap, where is that cheap for the du'as when du'as are being accepted. We come to the masjid. This is Allah's house. Allah called us. Ramadan is coming. One aspect of buzur that Ramadan is a month of dua. Allah is now asking, and Allah Himself announces, do you want this? You want rosy? You want good health? What do you want? Ask me what you want. What doubt can there be in that dua being accepted? So Allah, give us tawfiq, and that we become people of dua, and to become mustajabud da'wat. There are so many amals we can do that we ourselves are mustajabud da'wat. So one famous amal is Allahumma ighfir li wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. We make that dua. We make dua for somebody else. Malaika say for you the same. So somebody else, for health we make, Allah will give us good health. And this will also help tremendously, this today which is so common, this hasad, jealousy that we have. Eh? That today we hear somebody's difficulty, hardship, we get happy on it. Unfortunately, our condition has deteriorated very, very greatly. And we feel a bit sad when somebody's condition now is coming right. We seem to be happy to see. There are those animals that are like a snake or scorpion. It will sting a person, bite a person, no benefit for itself. And the others, they will kill a prey, but they benefit from it. So in human beings also, today we have become that we just want to harm people. Not only that, we're happy on the difficulty of people. And very sadly, husband and wife married so long, so intimate, children. But now Allah save us of this curse and this scourge of divorce. How common, and then how terrible they become with one another. And then how much of harm we want to, we actually cause the harm to one another. We go out of our way to cause the harm. Whereas if we have Islamic way, talaq is permitted, in, we should try and avoid it as much as possible. But where it is allowed, the way Islam is prescribed, even divorce, is unbelievable. What a deen we have got. If divorce has to take place and we do it according to the teachings of Quran and Hadith, our deen, how beautiful. Even the divorce, which is such a black, terrible spot, that also is so beautiful. What a beautiful deen we have been given. So we make dua, and dua for our deen, our akhirat, to get Allah, our Islam, and then with that all our dunya things also. Allah give us tawfiq. And there are people, mashallah, who engage themselves so much in duas also. In the island of Reunion, this was very many years ago, we used to go Jamaat, and there was one person of the Rawat family, Musa Bey Rawat, Haji Musa Rawat. Rawat family, extremely wealthy, extremely. But from about 9 o'clock till Zohar, 3 hours about, every day he was one way immersed in duas. And as far as dunya is concerned, you can't think that he's short of anything. And how many other people, and whom Allah gives tawfiq of dua, fortunate is that person. That is the person that Allah has called him to become close to him. Ulama have written also that what Allah wants to give you, then Allah gives you the tawfiq to make that dua. And when you make it, now Allah grants it to you. So dua is a very, very great thing. We should turn to Allah Ta'ala in earnestness and beg Allah for all His favors. May Allah grant us all and use this great, great ni'mat, especially in these times of these hardships. Let us not fall back on our duas. Make our duas, inshallah.